then it's putting something out, whether, you know, the one thing is pushing out spores, but the lighthouse is reflecting light out.
The mirrored lens, yeah.
Yeah. To draw things in. There's a lot of stuff like that, the inversion stuff in that first book, I felt like, but whatever. We can wait to talk about it.
Yeah, Doug usually has an introduction to her read and a kind of a whole.
He might be with us.
I am with you.
Hey, Doug.
How are you guys?
Good. How are you?
Good.
My computer is really nonplussed with this evening. But I hear you, and it says that it's recording.
That's great.
So, let me see if I can find this window I had, and then we can start into it. It sounds like you guys were already,
Yeah, we were trying to do a little bit of some pre-chat just to make sure that, I mean, because I want to try to avoid seeing things in the macro of the trilogy and adhering to the specifics of Annihilation a little bit. So it's not just, oh, well, that's answered in book two or book three. Or...
Yeah. Let's see. This is silly. All right, let me see.
You're coming through fine, Doug, just to be clear. I mean, you sound crystal clear, so.
Okay. Okay.
That's Doug's kids.
Oh, the noise?
Oh, okay.
Occasionally. It's like my house, except my kids are sleeping.
Mm. I'm in, you're central, I'm mountain.
Yep.
That's the difference.
Yeah.
Okay, so I am so close and a little rough around the edges tonight, but let's see here. Like he said, I'll read a short introduction. But everything is taking a second. It's like, every screen is like, I don't know if I'm really into this tonight. Like, I flip the screen to my starting clock and there's no digits. It's like, yeah, I don't know. And then I go to my mail to see, and it's like, no, maybe not. Maybe you should just wing it tonight. All right, maybe I will just wing it tonight.
You could try a computer restart that might help solve it. I don't know if
I just did that. That's why I was 10 minutes late. All right. So, okay. Gonna wing it. Here we go. All right. I push that button, and then I'm gonna say, oh, okay, good. Can you hear me?
Hello?
Hello.
Hi.
SJ?
Yeah, I'm here, yeah.
Sorry, I think I got cut off, or did we all get cut off?
I got cut off too, yeah.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Okay.
Doug, are you on the line?
Yeah. I am. I was talking for a second, and now I think my call recorder stopped.
I was like, I think I just finished saying there were remnants of that got lost, and then my call dropped me at that moment.
Last thing I heard was Doug talking about the light and the crawler, and kind of, then I started talking, and I don't think I stopped. Until I realized no one was answering, so other than...
Oh, here's another call. We're in a different space, I think. We're having problems. I'm going to hang up here and add you to this other one. There we go.
You were in a different space. It's nice to have that as the opening thing somebody says to you.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Continue and such.
Well, let me. Are you recording at all, SJ? Do you do that, or does?
I can't record. Yeah, I don't have capabilities. I'm just somebody.
Boy, it's having a hard time. Let's see where we're at.
Everybody get. Did everyone drop?
Yeah,
everyone
dropped. While you're working with the recorder, I'm going to just grab some water. I'll be right back.
Go for it.
Do you record, Dennis?
I really should, but I haven't set that up yet.
So who records the...
Slacker.
Is that Alex?
But I will figure that out.
Alex.
Yeah?
Alex, yeah.
All right, well... Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what's going on with my stuff. I'm gonna be right back in 1 second. Okay?
Okay.
This way.
Smoke if you got them.
You don't want one or quit.
Here we go. I didn't write anything.
We'll just leave them with the question.
That's very southern reach of you.
Yeah, I don't know exactly.
Yeah,
what the heck?
Nor do the rest of us.
And that's what made that. I mean, so the like, I'm with you, SJ. That first one is so good because you're just so compelled to continue. It's like, what is going on?
Yeah. And the movie, the guy.
I was driving to LA from Iowa, so I listened to majority of it in the car, and I was, maybe my reality was just happy that I wasn't in the back with the three kids at the moment, but I enjoyed it, and some of the stuff about the character control I thought was I enjoyed, even though yeah, it's slower pace. I agree, yeah, and not super highbrow, but yeah.
Sometimes. Real quick, the movie is just going to be only the Alex Garner, or I forgot his name, but he says he wrote the script just based on Annihilation. The other trilogy hadn't come out yet. He knew about it, but intentionally ignored it. Hmm. So that'll be Doug there, you know. For those that really liked that first book, it's really just the first book.
Interesting.
Ah.
Well, that'll definitely make for people wanting, if it's a good film.
Yeah.
Leave so many questions, people be ready for the second and third.
Well, I'm curious if they'll make it more about it as a sort of ecology film rather. I mean, because I don't know. I don't feel like that's the main purpose of it, but I wonder if it'll translate into sort of a pristine ecology type discussion.
Yeah, how you write that script, like with flashbacks, you know, or if you change, reorder the flashbacks into a chronological order, and so you'd have half the movie being like the first bit being her with her husband, maybe, you know, you could how you structure that script is going to be an interesting question.
Yeah.
You know? So because you could tell a story from the early days of in the tide pool and. Then her husband goes, and then the fights and the conflicts, and she chases the husband. I mean, that's kind of a narrative force, driving force.
Yeah.
You know, but.
Give that man a script writing job. S.J. Anderson, people.
So, since most of you have read at least more than I have, you have, did you guys get the sense or the feeling that any of it had to do with, I mean, I feel like Doug, maybe you mentioned this more than anyone, but did you get the sense that it had to do with consciousness levels of like transcending, you know, upwards, hence the lighthouse and towers, or did you get a sense at all of like what it's all about or what the point was or what sort of, shifts were happening inside of her? Did you have an opinion about whether you thought it was good or bad? Not even just Area X, but the transformation that she was going through.
You know how sometimes there's the place that's above good and evil, and so you can't say, I mean, it seems like
I do. I get
actions
that.
Were taken that allowed this to happen, and they're more mystical and occult than, you know, like ecological, but it's definitely ecological consequences. Mm-hmm. And but what I mean, it's hard to know, you know, so the transformation is happening, and like it's so potent a metaphor. It's like time, or like what our consciousness goes through, where we do things and we don't, we're like, we're playing with stuff that we really have no idea what we're playing with, and then there's no turning back. You know, we've opened a door and we've entered into this new thing, and all of us are undergoing these radical changes, even though we might not even be aware of how radically things are changing around us.
Yeah,
so
I
want to say yes.
Yeah. I kind of got that feeling from you, but I wasn't sure, you know, what you all thought of sort of collectively, or if you all got that from it.
But I took the idea of human courage and facing your history, like in the trilogy, it all goes back to like the childhoods and the backstory of all the main characters, and sort of their learning about themselves and their past as the whole plot unfolds. And so, you know, I definitely feel like by the end they're taking these acts of courage and stepping into the unknown and kind of walking through these big fears and stuff, you know. And so to me, that's a positive theme. If you can tease a theme out, I think that's definitely, I was left with a sense of, all right, these people are sort of in a new world, standing on their own 2 feet and acting from a place of courage. Even though by the end, it's still a lot of unanswered questions. So, which, you know.
There's a lot of mirroring of characters, too, because Ghost Bird kind of becomes very similar to Control, the main male character in the second book, or they're mirrors of each other in a lot of ways, I think. And then the phrasings, there's words, like the word brackish is repeated a lot in book one, and then throughout all three, I think several different times somebody says, you prefer it here, like, or it's like a question, or sometimes it's a statement, sometimes it's a question, like that's repeated a couple times. Like, so there's like a cyclical narrative in terms of like phrasings popping up that are the same.
And then when you actually get to, it must be the Southern Reach, that it's kind of like the, There's that mirroring with it and Area X itself. It's like, you know what I'm saying here? It's like where science and nature broke down initially on, maybe, I don't know. I'm reaching and stretching, and then also going back to, it's been a while since I did the second and third books.
No, it's very much like that, because it's kind of its own zone within the government.
Yeah.
If you know, it's like its own little Area X government agency where people sort of get lost in. They find themselves kind of trapped in it. It's almost isolated from the rest of the government. There's a lot of similarities, I think. I'd never considered that, but yeah, that's very astute. And that's an interesting, you know, if people like espionage or, you know, clandestine government agencies as a topic of a novel, you know, they may like Annihilation. It's very much like a espionage or spy thriller kind of book, you know.
Okay. I was just searching. I don't want to read the next two books because of time. But I'm so curious because all the questions I was left with. So that's why I'm asking you guys a bunch of questions. But one thing that I didn't get a chance to bring up, if you guys have time, that I would love to talk about is the part in the first book where she's talking about the light that's emanating from her, and she's got all of these, you know, fatal wounds, but the light is healing them. And at one point after that, she says, in order to not let this overtake me, I'm going to have to keep wounding myself. And for me, for, you know, maybe this has more to do with like my background and my work or something, but it was such a really sort of, for me, that moment was really intense because I was thinking about all of the people that I've worked with over the years. And there's this dimension in energy healing, called the core star, which is sort of zero point energy where everything comes from. And it's this light that emits from the center seed, as it were, of the being. And that, it should be emanating out, but that the outside world sometimes pushes itself, its projections onto other people. And as these projections push in, these lower frequency projections, they're like shadows, it sort of pushes the light back down. But the light is sort of this like all healing thing. So when someone needs really deep healing, it's best to go as far as you can into the deepest dimension, which is the core star dimension, and bring that light out to heal. So when she said that, it reminded me of what a lot of like addicts or even self-sabotage types will do, where in an effort to not let, you know, the light take over them, they'll actually wound themselves, they'll self-wound. I don't know, I thought that part was really... Mm-hmm. Like sort of profound, because she was like planning ahead, like, I'm going to have to keep wounding myself in order to keep this light from taking over me. And then maybe it never comes up again. I don't know. I was hoping it would.
Now it comes up in quite a bunch of detail. It becomes a big part of the rest of the book, where they find out that she had a whole regimen of basically, and cutting is what I was thinking of there, the like cutters, phenomenon mm-hmm. of cutters.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, she basically becomes, for lack of a better term, a cutter, and has a system and a regimented system to keep herself from fully transforming. And by the end, in the last novel, we learn that she's transformed into kind of this monstrous sea creature. You know, and that's the other thing about the... But she delayed the onset of that for as long as she could, because she finds her husband... I'm spoiling everything. But she finds her husband as the form of an owl, and then wants to stay alive as long as possible to kind of be with him, and or what she thinks may be her husband.
Yeah, because there's like a lot of internet debate about which animal he becomes, and whether it's a rabbit, an owl, or a dolphin. Oh, wait, yeah. Oh, I'm thinking of Control. Her husband, yeah, they think, yeah, you're right. Sorry, dolphin is speculated as well as... Yeah.
But Salitha, real quick. Point there, I mean, that's a really interesting point, because in my understanding, I've known several people that have struggled with that as well, and to me, they've always described it as being like a release, like it allows them to get relief in the moment from their turmoil. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like is the inner light that she is expanding in her, is that the analogy to the turmoil? And so therefore you would cut to kind of get a release from that, or to keep it at bay. You know, or is the light of the good thing? Whereas that there's sort of, you don't want to keep that at bay. And so, you know, people that I've known that have recovered from their cutting often have to go into that pain and sort of release it, mm-hmm. let it sort of take over them as a way to heal, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's just a fascinating analogy, and yeah. Interesting that you kind of made that there.
That one really stood out to me for some reason, and I was wondering if it was going to sort of, you know, make a reappearance, that subject in general. I think it's fascinating on so many levels. And, you know, like with cutters, they often, in my experience, cut because they don't know how, or they don't have an imprint of how to do emotional release. And so that's a way to feel a sense of relief from the physical body, because those vibrations are, you know, in all of their cells, but they can't get it out with the sound or the words or the tears or whatever. So they cut to feel relief. And yet that core star light is, you know, from what I've experienced, is trying to push through to sort of clear out that darkness that's come in. So it's trying to like push it out to clear it itself. But if it's trying to surface and they don't know how to release it, then it just feels like this overwhelming sense of pressure that needs to somehow, you know, be released. So, yeah, I thought it was interesting to hear her say, like, I'm going to have to basically self-mutilate in order to not have this take over. And ultimately, if that were to fully take over, then it would even, you know, all things material would then disintegrate eventually. Well, that's all speculation, really, because I don't know anything.
And just on the idea of what is it good or bad or the ultimate theme, you know, this is the question that's raised, because the human characters that enter into Area X seem like they all are destined to become these animals, these hybrids that are basically just a part of the landscape of Area X. And so is the book positing that that's going to be a good thing, that this takes over the whole planet and human beings as we know it are transformed altogether into these kind of more symbiotic entities into this pristine environment, you know? And so from that perspective, I can see how the inner light of the book would be something that the book is advocating you surrender over to as a way to sort of cleanse the planet and cleanse ourselves, you know, and human beings go away, but you know, let's forget it, you know, that one little problem, but.
Area X is the next big cult.
Well, so interesting in the conversation that Will and I had with Frank Zero, and he's talking about the X-Men as this, you know, the mutant genes, like it's the same kind of thing where it's the next step in human evolution. So that our fondness for X is really interesting to me in terms of this kind of thing where it's mutation or forms of non-normal consciousness or, you know, expansions beyond what we think of as normal reality. We associate that with X.
That's interesting.
24th number of the alphabet, or verse 42. There goes sink head on everybody, but no.
Nice. Good catch.
Well, X-Men, would that be kind of a similar, move towards that theme in a way, because it deals with a lot of this stuff, the X-Files.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Also, there is this whole thing of, you know, when you're doing an equation, it's this equals X, and X is always the question.
The unknown,
so that's
right.
That's really, really appropriate for this. Maybe you guys already mentioned that. Nice. Okay. All right.
Well,
I thank you all for answering my questions.
I thank you for participating. It was fun. Mm-hmm. And we'll put it to a vote, but if they're into it, 1Q84 is a beast. That's a whole lot of book.
It is. It is.
That might be beyond my abilities, frankly. Part of the reason why I wanted to pick this one was how thin it was. That's why, just in terms of my time outlays.
Yeah.
Totally. I hear you.
Yeah, it is kind of a big book to swallow. I don't know how you guys are on time, but I'm open to other suggestions as well, because even though I've already read it, I'd want to reread it. And
interesting. Yeah.
I devoured it the first time, but I was, you know, obsessed for some reason.
There were elements that were really compelling to me, but then for some reason I just lost interest. And sometimes with books like that, I'll definitely pick it back up and continue. But it's hard because if you put it down for too long, it's hard to get back into all the headspace of.
Yeah.
I had like an enormous amount of sync situations come up around that book at that time, so it was really intense. Well, at some point, I do suggest everyone check it out, though, when you have time, when you can handle it.
I'm doing that in the near future. I have it, so.
Yeah. Great.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go to bed, and thanks, and I'll get this up.
Thanks.
All
good
right.
Night.
You guys take care.
Bye, SJ.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.